Welcome to G.L. Horton's Stage Page. Today is Sunday, the 31st of December, 2006. Today we have a monologue read by Jeremy Cook Williams, an interview with Kate Snodgrass, and a bit of news. Let's start with what's happening in Boston this coming week. Boston Theater gets busy again right after New Year's. At the BCA, Alarm Clock Theater opens a one-man show inspired by the Unabomber, alongside the Public Theater's first winter offering, Noel Coward's unique love triangle, Designed for Living. The Lyric Stage has Michael John Chuse's musical, See What I Wanna See, partially based on Rashomon, while the ART continues with the final weeks of both The Onion Cellar and a two-man Importance of Being Earnest, imported from England. Saturday evening, Geraldine will perform Mark Mitchell at the First Unitarian Church in West Newton. Next week, The Huntington opens a reimagined Cherry Orchard, starring Kate Burton. In the suburbs, Wellesley Summer Theater opens Polly Teal's Bronte. The Stoneham Theater offers Men on Ice, an ice fishing musical. And Waltham's Hubby Players start offering a thriller, The Woman in Black. Over at Boston Playwrights, Rosanna Yamagiwa Alfaro and Kate Snodgrass have a double bill of Serious One Acts, Sailing Down the Amazon, and Haiku. One of the first monologues I recorded when starting this project was a one-minute mouth-off we called My Rabbit. I thought I did a credible job as a 10-year-old. Geraldine said I did a credible job sounding like someone with the mind of a 10-year-old stuck in the body of someone much older. So she got a real 10-year-old to read it. Jeremy liked the sound of his voice this way.
I think My Rabbit is bored. Either that or he hates me.
And this.
I think My Rabbit is bored. Either that or he hates me.
And this.
I think My Rabbit is bored. Either that or he hates me.
And this.
I think My Rabbit is bored. Either that or he hates me.
And this.
I think My Rabbit is bored. Either that or he hates me.
Geraldine said we had to do it naturally. So this is what you get. Jeremy Cook Williams reading My Rabbit.
I think My Rabbit is bored. Either that or he hates me. He just sits around or sometimes eats. But when I come in, he just stops eating and freezes. When I go out to play with him, he runs to the other side of the cage. When Mom and I go to the pet shop, I look for the rabbit toys for him to play with, but they only have his treats and medicine and stuff. Each day his ears look droopier to me, but I don't think he's really sick. He's just maybe depressed. They don't sell medicine for depression, not for rabbits. I got him some treats, but he won't eat out of my hand. He ignores it. And me. If I go out of my room, I guess he eats it because the treats are gone when I come back. So he won't play with me, and he sits around miserable all day. What should I do? I feel really bad for him. I was going to get another rabbit for him to play with and be friends, but that was when I thought he was a she. Then I found out he's a he. So Mom says I can't get a boy or they'll fight, and I can't get a girl or they'll breed. Fighting and breeding sound better than sitting around to me. But Mom says absolutely no. Getting this pet rabbit was supposed to make it so that I wouldn't be bored or lonesome anymore. But now, it's not just me. It's the two of us.
In 1973, a year after the break-in, Martha Mitchell, 55, tells her side of the Watergate story. She traces her life from the blissful early days of her marriage to John Mitchell, Nixon's attorney general, through her colorful glory days as Martha the Mouth, to her downfall as the much-maligned Cassandra of Watergate. Nixon later said, "Without Martha Mitchell, there never would have been a Watergate." Martha Mitchell, the musical in mostly her own words, a one-act monologue by Rosanna Yamagiwa Alfaro. The Nixon Watergate scandals as seen through the eyes of one of its most colorful casualties, featuring Geraldine Horton as Martha Mitchell, Joan Faber at the keyboard, and June Lewin directing. Martha Mitchell has been performed in several states and in Edinburgh. Now you can see it at the First Unitarian Society in Newton at 1326 Washington Street, Newton, Mass. The performance is on Saturday, January 6th at 7:30 to 9 o'clock p.m. with a post-show talkback. Tickets are $7 at the door to benefit the Women's Alliance. Free child care is available. Wine and refreshments are for sale. Our feature this week is a discussion Geraldine recorded with Kate Snodgrass, a Boston theater activist and playwright.
Kate's one-act play, Haiku, will be opening at the Boston Playwrights Theater soon, sharing a bill with Rosanna Yamagiwa Alfaro's Sailing Down the Amazon.
Boston Playwrights Theater.
That's right.
Has become the home to the major part of new play production in Boston.
The home of new plays, we like to say it. It sounds good, doesn't it?
It does. It,
it
sounds
does.
Wonderful.
I'm proud
it's a
of
big
it.
Change in Boston, and you have a lot to be proud of.
I am proud of it.
And you have two theaters here.
We do. We have two Black Box theaters. One seats 75 people, and the other seats about 100. And we loan out theater space. I say loan out. It's not exactly loaning, because we do make theater companies who are doing new works. We make them pay for lights in case a bulb goes out, something like that. But otherwise, it's free to them if they're doing new works. And we book the theater all year round. We do three productions on our own. And two of them are professional equity productions that are workshop productions of new plays. So they're brand new to the world, and that's what we try and put out to the public. And we try to give the playwright the best possible production we can, given our budget, which is slight, but not, you know, we can do a lot with it. And, you know, the good news is that here in Boston, I think it's changed in the last 10 years. I think a lot more actors want to do new work. A lot more designers want to design new work. It makes sense because it's the first time that it's brand new. They're the first ones that are going to make that scenic, what's ever on stage, come alive. And I think that's thrilling. That's my favorite part, is that everybody's brand new to the whole thing and you don't know what's going to happen.
Well, it's scary sometimes when the director is brand new. Because although a designer, you see before it opens what it is that you're going to get,
mm-hmm.
there are many places where the director, the young director who's never directed much of anything,
right.
the easiest production to get is to volunteer to do new plays. And the director is learning at the same time the playwright is learning, and much of what the playwright is learning is not to listen to a director who hasn't had any experience with new plays.
Oh, it's horrible. You're right. I mean, what we try to do here is I try to find directors who worked with new works that know how to talk to a playwright. And also, we're a playwright's theater. So that means what we want it to mean. It doesn't always work this way, but what we want it to mean is that the playwright gets to see their, as close as we can come to their vision of what that play is. And then, after that production, then they can go off and they can change it, and they can work with a director who doesn't know what they're doing, and, you know, the play can mutate. But our goal is to get them as close to that as possible. But you're so right. Directors don't get trained, usually, in any kind of program to work with new plays, because it's so expensive to support playwrights in a graduate program in playwriting. Forget it, because they're expensive. They need actors, they need costumes, they need sets, they need all of this stuff for them to get an education. So most places don't have playwriting programs. And if they do, they're not hooked up to a professional theater. And hence, we get, as you say, these young directors who know nothing about, they just want their vision to come alive. They're the auteur somehow, whereas in our theater, the playwright is the god and not the director. God forbid.
Well, there have always been respectable, productive playwriting programs in this
yes,
area.
There are.
But it's the next step that's always been the problem, because they
so
only
right.
get graduate student productions within their own program.
Right.
And then they have to go somewhere else to
right.
get to
right.
get
the real production.
But thanks to you, beginning to get something resembling the next step working.
You know, and Stage Source has done this wonderful thing at Boston Dramatists. We're calling it that. I had to resign from the board recently because I was so, so busy with stuff. I couldn't really put my heart into it. But they, you know, you've come to a couple of those meetings, and I think that's going to go somewhere. I think that's really going to happen, that we're going to get a group of playwrights together that band together and get production going on of their own work, and we'll have an organization a lot like Chicago Dramatists. That's a really wonderful, or Playwrights Center in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Those are great, great places to
jump
off.
Well, who's the
jump
point
off
person on this now, if you're not there?
Oh, it would be Amy Merrill.
Ah.
Amy. Call Amy.
Well, you know, Amy and I and Eliza White had a theater here together. So we did three seasons worth.
No kidding. What was that?
The first season was just readings and short pieces, and then we did two seasons of our own work. I produced my abortion play, which was called Choices then, and when it went to Sundance. It was supposed to be politically oriented, socially conscious plays by women.
Right.
We called ourselves Unit 2.
That's
the first unit was Matt Whitten and Friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it grew out of Playwrights Platform. And we did three seasons.
Wow. When was this?
This was in around 1990, 91, 89.
Okay. Somewhere
88. Right. And it was good. It was a wonderful experience, but it was, of course, utterly exhausting.
Oh, my God. I know. You can't do it all. Especially if you're a playwright. Oh, my gosh. You just need so much help. You need to collaborate. You need those actors.
Well,
it's hard.
And the writing itself is kind of an introvert's process.
It is.
You know, you kind of build your little world and you live in it, and you don't really respond to the rest of the outer world while that's going on. And that and the kind of public personality you have to network and hustle and push and produce.
Right.
There's
it's
a real
very
split
different,
there.
Different beast entirely. And not many of us have the same ways of going about it. So it's very complicated and hard.
And wonderful.
And wonderful, challenging, rewarding, terrifying, horrible thing. Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the high-profile event, the Boston Theater Marathon?
I'll talk a little bit about that. That's good.
I have a packet at home
you?
On my
desk,
yes.
Come back and get more.
Well, I have to finish that
right,
one
I know, but finish it and come back and get more. We have packets available here.
Coming
the marathon
up,
is coming up on May 20th.
May 20th.
And it's a Sunday. It's going to be at the Calderwood Pavilion, the Virginia Wimberly Theater. We've gotten so far over 350 entries, which are now being meted out to the community to
and
be
the
read.
Entries are 10-minute plays.
They are 10-minute plays, right.
So it's going to be one 10-minute play after another.
It will, 50 of them. And we put each one with a different theater company, so each theater company does one play, and they bring it to that day, and it's all for charity. So it's a wonderful event, really spectacular, and community building.
Community building, very important.
Right. And I think also the great thing about the marathon for me has been to see some of these playwrights who write the 10-minute plays have hooked up with theater companies, and some of those companies have done their full-length plays. It's not just, oh, yeah, I'll see you, bye, you did your 10-minute play. They actually hook up with people. So I think it's teaching people that playwrights are human beings. They're alive, and it's not so difficult working with us. It's not a bad thing. We're perfectly amenable, perfectly nice people. So it's not so scary. I think that's a good thing for those companies to learn.
Well, I noticed when I was teaching freshmen that somehow they seemed to come out of the school system thinking that plays, or for that matter, stories and novels and things in the newspaper, are written by a committee. Because they say, well, they say here that...
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Is it like, well, it is written by committee in television, but not here, not in the theater. Oh, this is so disappointing. This is frightening, isn't it?
Yes.
It's frightening. Yeah, maybe if they knew that they could write a play all on their own and they could be God for a little bit, maybe they'd start to write one.
I'm not sure whether we need more play writers or whether we need more play experiencers.
Right, right. Either one would be a good thing to have. We need those audiences. And how to get them in for new plays. Do you have an idea about that?
None whatsoever. Uh-huh. I have already used up my family and my circle of friends. I'm just too prolific. At most, they are willing to see one thing a year apiece.
I see.
And I have a fairly small family. So I have to make a selective decision about what I'm going to twist their arms to see.
Uh-huh.
And do I want them to see me act, or do I want them to see a play I've written?
Hey, you were great in that Chicago play. That was wonderful. I can't remember the title of it, but
Talking
you were fabulous. Yeah, that was a good, good show.
And maybe the last show.
Oh, I hope not. I hope they continue on. They're such a wonderful group. They just need to regroup and think about what it is they want to do. They will. I have great faith that they'll be back. They're significant theater.
That's the show for this week, this month, and this year. Hope you've enjoyed listening as much as I've enjoyed creating it. If you have any comments, suggestions, or readings of monologues, send them to g.l.horton@mindspring.com. We'll do our best to respond. The text for all monologues, as well as for many short and full-length plays, can be found on GL's stagepage.info website. All our best wishes for the coming year.